Welcome to Radicast.
Impact Music Studios bi-weekly podcast.
All right, welcome everybody to Radicast.
Hi.
Or I should say, welcome back to Radicast.
Welcome back.
For those who are just joining us, Radicast is Impact Music Studios' bi-weekly podcast where we talk about everything worship, everything musical, everything that we can think of.
Productions.
Yeah, just productions, music, apparently,
music for Mika. No, I
mean,
you always left that word.
That's true, yeah.
You always miss that word.
So, yeah, welcome back, everybody. We're sorry that we've been missing for, I don't even know how many weeks now.
About 4 to 6 weeks.
4 to 6 weeks. All right, yeah, sorry about that. We had some little hiccups during the weeks before, but now we're back. And so, yeah, I'm doing pretty well. I'm a little bit tired, just because, for our listeners who don't know, I'm also a music teacher, and my schedule's been ramping up, and so, because I'm a private music teacher, I have to drive all over the place, to different people's houses. Yesterday, I went all the way to Alhambra, to work, and it was kind of a really long drive, and then this was I had a pretty unique student this time, because he wanted to, or his... he's a teenager, and his parents had wanted him to learn an instrument, but he didn't really
want to.
And so, usually the people that I teach, you know, they're kind of, they're more motivated.
And younger, too.
No, not always. A lot of my students are actually adults as well. Actually, most of my students are adults. But they're kind of self-motivated, so they want to.
Teach them piano or guitar?
Any of those.
So you teach them both instruments.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not to the same student.
Oh.
Yeah. So just for this new student, I'm teaching guitar. I teach piano, I teach guitar, I teach violin, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but usually they're pretty self-motivated, and so it's like when my first lessons are usually about. Hey, maybe we'll do a podcast on this one day. But my first lessons are usually about like setting objectives, setting goals. What I call short-term, long-term, and reach goals. But with my new student, it was a little bit difficult because he didn't really have any of those. He wasn't doing it for himself. Mm-hmm. So it was a really interesting first lesson, and I kind of came away from it a little bit disgruntled because I was thinking like, oh man, I was totally unprepared for that lesson, or quote-unquote lesson. And I felt kind of bad because I felt like I gave him a kind of second-rate lesson. But other than that, it was pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah, how was your week? Or should I say, how has your 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks been?
I went through accident. A month ago, I had an accident. It was a minor accident, but I did have to...
You had to get your car fixed, right?
Yeah, and my car was fixed, and I had to deal with a lot of insurance issues.
Oh, yeah. That's always a pain.
Yeah, it's a pain, and then I have to, because it was my first time that I got into an accident, so a lot of learning and a lot of knowledge that I just gained from this incident. And plus,
that's a positive way to look at it.
Yeah, because
I got into an accident. It's really frustrated.
It's very frustrated. It was very, very frustrated, but I learned a lot from the incident, like, regarding to how to deal with insurance and how to deal with people that with the other party, you know, everything. And also my computer was broken.
Yeah.
So I have to, certain stuff that I want to do has to postpone, which also another frustration because there's a lot of things that I need to do every day, but because of my computer, I have to, you know, delay certain stuff. And then I have no car for 2 weeks. That's why I wasn't able to come to church, come to cell group, because, you know, I don't want my mom to keep driving me to places. Yeah. So that's also hard, you know. But now it's good. Everything is back to schedule. Everything is back to normal. And I'm glad that everything came to an end.
Yeah.
So I can restart, refocus on what I have been doing.
Yeah, that's definitely... a lot of disruptions, I think, over the past few weeks. That's why we actually haven't been able to bring you this podcast for the past few weeks. So sorry about that to our listeners. We just had a hectic few weeks, but we've been busy with both studio things inside the studio. Mm-hmm. We've been learning stuff kind of on and off of our regular hours. Mm-hmm. And then, we're working on a few projects that we're going to be sharing with you guys.
Yeah.
And we're really excited. But yeah, so with that short introduction, let's go on to our next segment. All right, guys, welcome to our second segment of the week. This is going to be our weekly topic. And if you guys have been following us on Facebook, you'll have noticed that on our website, we actually posted a new article that Mika wrote.
I prepared an article.
Yeah, and it was a really great article. It's about how to start your first recording of a song.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an article that Mika wrote, and we kind of just want to talk about it. It's going to be part of, I guess, a series that we're going to be doing.
And I said proofread, edit.
Well, yes, I was the editor-in-chief on that. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, so we just kind of want to talk about it. Mika has a lot of stuff on her mind.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to go ahead and...
Yes. So the main purpose that for this article is to share about how to record a first song.
Uh-huh.
And I do have a... because this is something that I do have a struggle in the beginning of my music production journey. So I want to share that experience and want to encourage, like the main purpose to encourage people who wants to do something that what we've been doing,
right,
but don't have enough resource. And I thought this is a good tool for them to start,
mm-hmm,
and not to be afraid that you can't do it because you can do it.
Yeah, one of the things that I was really noticing while we were editing and writing the article, or you were writing, I was editing the article. That is also something that I had a bit of difficulty starting with when I first started doing my own recordings and things like that. Because there's so many options, right? With your software.
Yep.
And like it's a little bit difficult to take all those options in and think of, okay, what do I need to record, or how do I do this, or anything like that.
And so, how do I even set up? This is all very basic from what we have our experience. But for certain people, they totally don't know anything about this. And I think this article can help them to have a good start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for our listeners who haven't actually seen this article yet, you can go on to our Facebook. It's going to be facebook.com/impactmusicstudios.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find us at, or you can find the article on our WordPress blog. It's a WordPress, impactmusicstudios.wordpress.com. You can find it over there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called How to Record Your First Song, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, so I started my article by sharing about, like, for my personal workflow, I usually will have a melody first. So, but a lot of people, I think that they can just, like, for you can do a guitar and then have a progression,
and
then you can just add in melody later.
Mm-hmm.
This really depends on personal preference and what comes to you first. So no matter which way is, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and also I kind of elaborate on how we start, and then like open up, like say, like I use Logic in this article as an example, that when we open up, like first we create a track.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it will be
for those
MIDI
people
track.
Who don't know, Logic is a program.
it's a workstation. It's a music workstation where you can record, you can even just do a simple arrangement of music.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of song source in Logic by itself you can use. So you don't even have to spend another money, you can just buy one lodge, and then it's pretty good use.
Yeah.
Like, the things that you need are pretty much there.
Yeah, there's like a ton of instruments in yeah. there already for you. You can, it's kind of like an all-in-one kind of tool
yeah.
For people who are just starting out recording. They could mm-hmm. really definitely get their hands on, some really nice instruments mm-hmm. as well as some tools to help them.
And even on our previous article that we work on together, I use GarageBand even because GarageBand came with Apple computer.
Right, yeah.
You can just use it because for me, my perspective, I see Logic as an advanced workstation mm-hmm. of GarageBand.
Okay.
So yeah. GarageBand is even more easy to, more friendly user.
Yeah, and I remember, GarageBand is now even, on iPad and iPhone
yeah,
and everything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you were showing me
yeah,
last
was showing
week
you.
that you can do some DJ things
yeah,
on
yeah.
there, right?
It's been,
yeah.
It's a interesting little app on there. And it's all free, I believe.
Yeah,
it should
GarageBand
be free.
Is free.
Yeah, so.
Larger, you do have to pay, but if for people who just want to have a taste about what is MIDI production like, mm-hmm. start with GarageBand.
Yeah.
It's a very good tool. And
yeah.
It's... You will enjoy it.
<That's true. laughs> Enjoyment is a really, really important part, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And have you been realizing that all this workstation has been so getting more easy to access?
Yeah.
So you can even just carry your iPad. I saw you doing that a lot of times, a couple of times that you don't even have your computer here, but you bring your iPad, and we still can do recording.
Yeah, that's how we did the interview with Mark.
Yes, that's amazing. So for me, I think everybody can do music.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, it's not like something that you cannot be rich, even though you don't have a professional training.
Right.
And that's not true because the software that is being very easy to access now is becoming even way easier before.
Yeah, it's definitely something that has been, it's kind of the, have you seen Ratatouille? The Pixar
no.
with the little
uh-huh.
rat
oh, yeah.
neck.
Yes.
Like the motto for that is everyone can cook, right?
Yeah.
So now it's everyone can make music
yes.
and everything.
Yes.
So it's been really, really cool just to see that. But yeah, go. So
do you see that as a negative or positive thing in terms of
that's actually a really good question. I've been actually thinking about that over the past few months
mm-hmm.
Just because we're both starting the Radicast or not
mm-hmm.
Radicast Impact Music Studios
mm-hmm.
And doing these kind of home studio type
yep.
Mixing, recording, mastering
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff and yeah, I've been thinking about that because a lot of people are now also starting to create their own personal studios or home studios.
Yeah.
So everyone has access to the same or similar tools.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I don't think of it as necessarily a negative thing. I think it can be a negative thing if there's it's kind of there's like a sense of you have to...
You're not special anymore.
well, yeah.
That's how I felt. You're
that
not
might
special
be part of it.
Anymore. yeah.
That wasn't where I was going, but...
Okay.
but more along the lines of... I guess I was thinking more along the lines of the democratization of a certain product or certain service.
Nice.
Nice. Is always... It can go good or bad, but a lot of times it goes bad because you start appealing to the least... common denominator, like
mm-hmm.
you start, or the in our terms, it would be the least skilled person with the with the most cheap price, right?
Yeah.
And so if I'm a home producer and I claim that I can mix and I have this kind of a price competitively versus
mm-hmm.
someone else, and mine is lower,
mm-hmm.
A lot of times people would go for that lower price, not necessarily because of the quality of the
mm-hmm.
work, although I mean that there's there's different things about that too. And so it's interesting. But a couple of days ago, actually, I was talking with a friend and you know what a steel drum is, right?
Yeah.
It's like it makes those
yeah.
ding sounds.
Is that called like drum pad?
No, it's
like
it's just a steel
drum.
Right?
Oh, okay.
It's a literal drum made out of steel with like different pockets.
Oh, yeah.
And you have these sticks that you can use to kind of create or make these tunes and sounds. Mm-hmm. Well, recently there's been, not too recently, but quote unquote recently, there's been a new version of this steel drum that came out. That's you use your hands on.
Is it called hand drum?
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah. So
we,
it's
I
really
was
cool.
talking about it to a friend in Tattoo. We okay. were talking about it and the sound is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. It's really, it's very natural.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually the way you hit
very
it.
Very mellow.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The way you hit it actually changes the sound
yes.
too. So there's like different textures and timbres mm-hmm. that you can do with it.
Those are so. Not as cheap.
No, those are not
cheap. They're not cheap.
Were you talking about? I don't know.
Hand drum.
Yeah. So, yeah. The hand drum itself is about like 1500 at least for one, because they're all handmade.
Yeah.
And then you can go up to like 3000
dollars
for those. So they're really 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 cool. But they're new instruments, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was talking with a friend. I was bringing up the topic that actually right now, There seems to be like kind of an explosion of new types of musical instruments.
Yes.
In the musical world.
Definitely.
Like I guess as music and or cultural music has gone from Western, predominantly Western music to more you go to Asia, Southeast
yeah.
Asia, those areas. We're
I
starting
think
to find
blending together.
Yeah, they're
now.
Blending a lot
yeah.
together. And yeah, we're starting to find like, you know, people are making so many different kinds of instruments. There was this one, I just saw this one the other day where someone created this flute thing. And it plays like a flute, but it's completely digital. So it's just a controller for like your computer.
Mm-hmm.
And you can play, you play it like a flute, but it you can do what make whatever sound you want on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make a piano, you know, kind of do the kind of thing
mm-hmm.
on this little instrument. So it's just all these different
even
ways.
The keyboard
yeah.
is a new invention on keyboard.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be on a plastic key anymore. It's
yeah.
a rubber, right? Silicone.
Silicone.
Yes.
Well, silicone. Yeah, silicone I think is like the metal or something like that.
Silicone.
It's part of one of the elements on the periodic
yeah.
table.
The keyboard is a new invention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think because all these new different types of instruments are coming out, it's actually, it could be a benefit for music producers, artists, and you know, these studios.
Like
they can take in all these different kinds of instruments, and because the software has been made really easy to use, you don't have to worry so much about using the software anymore
yeah.
as much as, let me just get to the thing I actually want to do, which is record,
yeah.
produce, mix, master, and all that.
And you can get any kind of tutorial
yeah.
from website, from YouTube, from Google.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, YouTube is taking my income away, so. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but for me, the only negativity that I see is that you're not that special anymore. Anybody can do so much better than you now. Like, not anybody, but like, you have to have a awareness of that.
Yeah, I guess.
You need to improving yourself. You cannot
right.
just keep.
Yeah, you can't be static.
Yeah,
your
you cannot just keep staying at the same place.
Yeah.
Every time you need to move forward and just
yeah.
update yourself with new stuff, new software, new version. Anything is.
Well, I don't know
so
about
fast
updating.
That you cannot just keep. Allowing yourself to stay at one place.
Right. Yeah. You can't stay just at one place.
Yeah. You need to really absorbing as new stuff as much as possible.
But I think it would be because these tools are so prevalent now. I think somehow producers are going to have to kind of how do you say this make themselves. Like stand out,
yeah.
like find ways to stand out from the crowd,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so it's not necessarily. I think it's actually a good thing because it's no longer about.
Yeah.
Can I just go to school, learn the skill set, and be a robot?
Yeah.
And do what
yes.
I learn, and,
yes.
but instead, I'm taking what I've learned to
yeah.
to kind of, you know, put my own unique spin on it. What is different about my mix versus
yeah.
you know, someone
yes.
else's mix?
Standing out, like now standing out, finding your uniqueness is so important because
yeah.
like I said, maybe before, not a lot of people know certain like about music production and
mm-hmm.
that makes you unique because you probably know more. You know a lot.
Right.
But now it's that everybody can get information so easy that you need to find your uniqueness.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not for me, probably, yeah, I changed my mind. Probably not negative.
Yeah.
It's a positive in a way that you actually are improving.
Yeah.
You don't allow yourself to stay at one point.
And I feel like it will become more about relationships. Like that you have, like connections that you have with people, building upon those connections, because it's always
very good,
much
very
better
good.
To
good
or I don't not better, but like it's more personal if I can find a friend who's really good at what he does and I really trust him or her with you know doing my like recording or you know doing an album for me or a song for me. And so it's a lot, it'll become, I think, a lot more relational as, you know, everybody can mix, right? Everyone can cook. But, you know, it's that doesn't mean you'll go to every restaurant, right?
Yeah.
Or you'll go to, well, maybe some people will, but
or you will
no
like
one,
it. Or
right, yeah, not,
like
not necessarily
word.
Like you will like it. Like, no one really likes McDonald's. It's just convenient, right?
Mm.
But for something that, for a finer taste, for something that, especially with music, I think a lot of artists, they want to show the best of themselves, right? They want their songs
Definitely.
To be like, this is the expression of who I am. And to hand that to a producer or an artist is really, I think, really precious.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of trust, right?
Yes.
So to build those connections and relationships.
And remember, we have limited time, like about 3 minutes and to 4 minutes. How are we going to use these 4 minutes to really, to reach to that level of being able to express everything that we want to express to the audience or to the listener.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very, very challenging, but it's also a very, very special thing that we're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
It's definitely really rewarding when like an artist that you've been working with is they come back and they're like, hey, I really loved what you did with this. And so.
I totally agree on how you say about it's more and more will be on how you relate with your artist, your partner, whoever that's working on a, let's say a song, a album that in the future we'll be working on, and we can talk about it later.
Oh yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
To be continued for our listeners.
Yes.
So yeah. So what else did you?
Yeah, so I kind of like break it down into detail about like first how we start a new track, which I have a screenshot about where is that be in Logic, and then so you kind of can follow through the screenshot that I took, so you will know exactly where it is located and do that. And also I do suggest to get a MIDI keyboard. It doesn't have to be an expensive keyboard. It can be a very, very simple keyboard, which costs like 20-30 bucks.
I have no idea. It could be. I mean, we have one right there on the desk over there. That's probably around $50.
Something like that. And then you need it, and then you can just plug it into a USB. Usually now it's all USB, so plug it into a computer, and then it will connect automatically. You don't really need a lot of complicated setup.
Yeah. Well, before we go on, do you want to tell our listeners what a MIDI keyboard is?
A MIDI keyboard is a keyboard, but it just there's
like
no sound by itself. You need to connect to your computer that has a software like Logic, GarageBand, or other software that you're comfortable with, in order to have sound.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and it's GarageBand and Logic or whatever. It could be on your iPad as well, or anything like that.
Yes.
Those kinds of little apps or plugins or whatever that make the sound.
But I do know iPad need a different setup if you want to connect to the keyboard.
Yeah, you'd have to get some kind of like USB thing.
Yeah, we can teach and we can write.
Oh yeah, that's something
that
we can talk about it.
So
new
there's
subject
a lot
for
of
our
to talk
for our
about.
Future.
And also, I also suggest that always have a click track, especially when you really want to. You don't have to do it. The reason why we need a click track is because you don't, when you finish recording, you won't have trouble having to edit a lot of section.
Yeah.
Because your beats will be
right
on point.
Spot,
yeah, right on the spot. But without the click track, there will be high possibility that you might off the beat a little bit here and there. And that will be a little bit more work and more frustration just because you need to, you know, shift here and there, and I don't think that's a good time amount that right. we need to spend.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, one of the things that for us when we're recording everything, whether you're doing a full band recording, this is for our listeners, if you're doing a full band recording or you're just doing single recordings of different instruments, let's say you're recording a guitar first and then you're recording drums and then you're recording bass and everything like that, having a click track is really important because it helps keep all the instruments on track, so they can play together and not have to guess when the next beat or when the next part of the song is. And so it's one of the most useful things that
and we all need click track, no matter how
it's true.
How professional you are, we all need click track.
Yeah.
And kind of like I kind of wrap it up with like how sharing that one of the best part to do using a software to make your music is that there's no like you have to get everything in one take. You can always go back.
That's one of the conveniences of modern technology.
Now it's that you can record session by session.
Yeah.
We always do that. Like, no, I barely have session where we can just have one take and it's perfect. Yes, there are people who can do that.
Yeah.
But
those guys are
most of the people that we are doing a lot of session, we do need to break it down for the artist and even for a sound engineer or a producer to even listen to things.
Yeah, if you remember back in the first podcast when we were sharing one of the tracks that we made for an album that we're still going through, that track has a very specific, or that track actually has, I think if I remember correctly, 4 or 5 guitar lines. And each of those guitar lines I had to record
differently.
Differently, but each I had to do 3 or 4 takes of each time.
Pick the best.
Yeah,
right?
To pick the best one and to make sure I got all the sound right, to make sure I was on time with the click and everything like that. So for our listeners, if you guys want to go back to our first podcast, I think it was our first podcast.
Yeah.
And listen to that track. The guitars that you're hearing there have been recorded over and over and over again. It's not that they're all mixed together, but it's that I took different takes and different pieces from those 4 takes of just one guitar line, and I kind of meshed them together. And so they sound really smooth, and they sound really together because of the way it was edited, but it was different takes.
Yes, it's not perfect take.
Yeah.
Because we were try our best to reach that goal, but
of course.
It's not. Right now, it's most of the time, it's not possible that you can take everything in one take.
It's very normal for producers to have multiple takes, even if the first one was really good.
Yes, because you just want to have more take in order to, you know, let's say anything can happen with the take, and then you can just copy and paste certain parts. You don't need to re-record again. So that's what I'm sharing, kind of wrapping up in the end of the article, is that don't have to stress yourself about you have to get everything done in one take. It's like you can just go back and you can save the part that you feel, oh, this is the best section. But then I can continue after that part, you know. You don't have to keep starting from the beginning just because you screw up certain parts of the song. And you can
always
make changes. And then you can save everything. So that's really
save.
Convenient.
Actually, maybe we should put that on the article. Save always.
Always save and never delete anything. You can make it like inactive. Inactive means you can just kind of not. It's more like for your CPU, CPU use. So that when you inactive certain track of the song, it will not take a lot of your CPU power from the computer, so you will have a better smooth workflow. So there's so many ways to make your song work, you know, and so many ways and so many tools to help us to really produce music.
So I have a question for specifically for you, because I know you went to Berklee for your music education, and you were showing me a couple weeks ago, I think. No. This is more than a couple weeks ago now. Mm-hmm. Time is lost.
A month ago.
Probably a month ago. Yes. How you were recording in a whole orchestra.
Right? Yeah.
And doing that. So I'm really curious. What is that process like versus kind of what you're introducing here? Because right now we're kind of doing more, you know, individual artist kind of recording. But with a whole orchestra, it's got to be a little bit different, right?
Yes. First, like you said, it's an orchestra. So usually we will record orchestra live.
Okay.
If you have enough budget, but because I was on school project, so of course the school has budget for us to access the biggest studio and hire musician, which is all under the school's budget. I guess for that kind of recording, it's more like what you want to do. First, you need to really know what you want to do, who you want to be in music industry.
Okay.
Because if, like, for the orchestra that I was doing back in Berklee, because I was working on a very traditional classical piece that we have to compose originally. It's original score. And specifically, it wants orchestra live music.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I went through that process.
Okay.
But here, what I'm introducing here is more like you can just start tomorrow. You don't need to find musicians.
You don't need to find an orchestra.
You need to, don't need to find a big studio because there's a lot of setup. Like I show you in the photos. Yeah. I guess it's photos.
They're like
before
20
that,
microphones.
It's more than 20 microphones. It's like the work you have to prepare for the orchestra and for the... That's why bigger studios are struggling too. Like I have to say, it's sad to say that, but there are bigger studio, big professional studio that are struggling because not a lot of people wants to record that kind of quality. Because first, it takes a lot of money. It takes a lot of money to make such a big band work together. And plus, you need people to set up for you. You need all the resources you need. So it's very expensive and very time consuming.
Yeah, also nowadays you can kind of just like purchase sound packs, right?
Yeah.
For orchestra sounds.
Yes,
or
and
something
it's,
like that.
It's really good. The quality,
the quality
amazing
is amazing.
Good,
today.
You know? So
I guess that's a negative.
My approach is totally different. Well, but if you do want to really be an original score composer, you have to go through that process.
Yeah, so if you want to be like a Danny Elfman or a Thomas Newman or something like that, you'll want
Hans Zimmer, you know?
Yeah, Hans Zimmer.
Like, that's for more like a film.
That's true.
So, but, you know, like just a side information. So I was happened to see a short clip about the budget that was being distributed in as a whole, like a music industry. Actually, the film has the most money.
Right, yeah.
Recording does not have that kind of money.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
I mean,
you know, it's,
if you're doing Hollywood films, it's going to be a lot of money thrown at you.
Yes. And if you can be an original composer and people start hiring you to compose for a film, oh my god, you don't have to worry for the rest of your life. Because one score, guess how much?
I specifically
remember this. As it can go up as high as to $800,000 just for an original,
for the
just
recorder?
To buy your music.
Oh, the music.
Yeah, and
wow,
the recording is the company's job. You don't have to. All you have to do is to.
So
this
when,
is my original score.
When Hans Zimmer does his 20 tracks.
I'm sure Hans Zimmer is more than that.
Of course.
Yeah, but of course you have to have that kind of connection, have that kind of reputation in order to have this kind of, to earn this kind of money. But I'm sure everybody, I mean, it doesn't mean that we can reach to that level. It really depends on who you really want to be. in this industry, that you have to have a very strong focus and just keep doing it, because it's very tough. It's very tough in the world now, but it doesn't mean it can be done or you can reach to that level.
So when you were recording with your orchestra, did you do multiple takes?
Yes.
Okay.
But because we have very limited time.
Right.
I remember we only have 30 minutes for each student.
Whoa.
30 minutes for each student to record a full orchestra is very challenging and very stressful.
Yeah.
Because I even have to conduct. I have to be the conductor.
Oh,
my professor, she's standing beside me. And
pressure.
Yes,
pressure.
Because just in case I really need help on the beats, which I do in the beginning, I was very nervous and then my beats were everywhere.
Oh.
And then so the recording was not good. So my professor has to come in and help me to, you know, have a steady beat.
Did they give you a click in your ear?
Of course. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And then it's now I think about it, it's a very good experience for me, because then I get to see, oh, this is how it goes.
Yeah.
So, for me, yes, I remember I do have to take a 3 takes.
Okay.
That's all I got, 3 takes for one student, for each student.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever that you cannot be done, that's it, because we have very limited time.
Right. So is there anything that from that experience, I'm curious, that you would say is applicable to what you wrote on this article?
I guess the work flow, the work, how we work compared to recording live and doing the software home recording is totally different. But I think I would apply the concept, the mentality.
Okay.
It's the same.
Okay. And what's that mentality?
It's the first time when you start, because that the orchestra that I went through that you see from my photos, that is my first time recording a live orchestra.
It looked very professional.
Yeah,
and really cool.
That for that recording, I have prepared the whole semester just for that recording to work, which is about 3 months, 2.5 months, because we have almost 3 months per semester. And so it's from beginning, I have nothing in my score, to I have to compose everything in piano first. I play piano, so I compose in piano, and then I have to arrange, because everything has to be original. So I have to arrange, thinking about, oh, so this part, I want this section, the string, the trombone, the brass, the family, and the reed, and then where do I come in? You know, all this has to be, has to include.
Right.
So it's about 2 to 3 months preparation in order for that recording to work. And then you have to know how to transpose, how to do that.
Right.
It's a very long process.
So you mean the mentality of preparation?
Preparation is the same. So even though we're doing a recording in home, like using software at home, but you need to prepare yourself in order, what do you want to record? What kind of song? What style? What do you want to express? And what instrument you need to prepare? You know, I'm assuming that people who wants to start have some a little bit, maybe not professional, or that you have to come from a music college, but you do have some experience in music,
right?
Yeah. Right. So I'm assuming that, and all that is counts on whether or not you will have a successful recording on your first song. So all that work is the same. It just live recording has a different workflow, and studio recording, home recording has another ways of working.
So cool. For our listeners, hope you got all that. We really enjoyed writing this article for you guys, and we really enjoyed talking about it. We'll see you guys on the next segment.
Yep. Shine your light.
my darkness. All right, welcome everybody to our third segment for this week. It's the What We're Working On segment. And what we're going to be working on over this week, and actually it's been the past few weeks, and it's going to be over the next few months. We are going to actually be working on a solo album for one of our artists at Impact Harvest Church, Shin Lin. We're really, really excited about this. She's been a part of Impact Harvest Church for a really long time and has been, you know, been in under the, you know, Radical Jam worship, I guess, label or teams for quite a while. And she's done a lot of songs like Your Presence, My Praise, and Flame of Love.
That's my favorite song.
It's about Mika's favorite song.
For that Surrender album.
Yeah, and it's actually, so she's a really, really talented songwriter, and we're really excited to be working with her on her very first solo album.
Great, and she has great voice.
She has a really, really amazing
voice.
Very
strong writer.
I think one of the things that I was thinking about, you know, what album we're going to work on next after our previous one, and like she was the first one that popped into my mind. I was like, I really want to do an album for Shinny, because I feel like her songwriting style is really, really strong. Like it's she does a lot of different kinds of genres, actually. She doesn't only do what we're, you know, typical contemporary worship type stuff. With her solo album, this is not actually a worship only album. It's got
It has her own personal song that she do wants to share, right?
So
it's not just a purely for worship album. But it does do express her personality, right? As a passion in music.
And it's actually one of the things I'm really excited about. Most of the album is going to be in Chinese. She has a couple English songs on there, but the really exciting thing is that the songs aren't particular to of course she is a believer, but they're not particular to worship, like the worship genre or category. It's a lot about like kind of her own personal life and journey, and how she processes and everything like that. So super excited about this album. You've listened to a couple of songs so far, right?
It's demo, right?
Yeah, all the demos.
It does really stand out.
She has a very distinct
characteristic.
So I was saying, like, she's got kind of different multiple genres all in this album already. One of the songs I don't think it has been released yet, but I think it's part of our new album that's going to be coming out for Impact Harvest Church. It's on there. I think it's called First Love.
I don't remember.
That one's in there. So that's more of a kind of a worship song. But she has some, like, a few jazzy kind of swinging songs in there that are really, really cool. I'm really excited about recording that kind of stuff. So unfortunately for our listeners today, we don't have too much to show to you guys today, just because everything that we've recorded so far, or rather that they've recorded so far, is just demos. We're going to be setting down our guide tracks and everything. But over the next few months, we'll be, as we work towards this whole album,
we will be focusing on her, like, once we start, like, arranging songs, everything.
Our podcasts are going to start. We're going to be talking about how we're working on this album, and you listeners get to kind of go with us or come with us on this journey as we put together this album for her. So
it's exciting.
Super exciting.
Looking forward to start.
All right, welcome everybody to our fourth segment of this week. It's our favorite segment of the week, and for this week, Mika has chosen a song that she has really been touched by and has been listening to throughout, I guess, the past couple weeks. I don't know how long it's been. You want to share why you chose this song?
It's called El Shaddai by City Point. Actually, I never heard of this band.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Until you shared it with me.
I never heard of it until I found this band, you know. I don't even know where they came from.
I think they're in Australia.
I think so.
But somewhere in that area.
So anyway, the reason why it's really I was really attracted by this song is because the lyrics really spoke to me.
Okay. And that's different from what it's usually like for you.
Yeah. First time, like this is like maybe one of the occasion that I'm focusing more on lyrics. Like, remember, I was always get attracted by the melody,
right,
and the chord progression first. But this is one of the songs that actually the lyrics caught my attention first. I think the reason why it spoke to me so much is because it's a reminder for me that not to focus on what I have done before. Okay. I met Christ. Okay. Before Jesus found me, and even I came to Christ, it doesn't mean I won't make mistake. And the best part is that I always remember to always come back to the Lord. And in the story is, I mean, not the story, sorry, in the song, the lyrics by itself, it really spoke to me in this way. I remember when I first hear this, I was in tears. It reminds me of so much that I don't think I'm good enough. I don't think I have, I can reach to certain things that I really want. I have some doubt about myself. Even now, I still do, but I just learned how to look at that in different way. And yeah, so this song really spoke to me in this way, and it brought that message so strong to me while I was listening to this song.
Yeah, the particular part that you pointed out to me that you really liked, and the one that we just showed on our podcast was the bridge, right?
It
was forgiven of all my wrongs, Lord. You've washed me, made me whole. So that was that the part that really hit you?
Yes.
It really spoke to you.
It really spoke to me. It's like it represents my journey of walking in, like, how do you say that? Like, my journey with Christ.
Right.
Because I feel like I have, or I still make mistakes that I thought I would never make again. But when that mistake came again, like I fall into that trap again, I feel frustrated and I have so many doubts, and I just keep condemning myself for not able to do the right thing, make the right decision. And I have no idea why I did that. I thought I'm strong enough because since God has lifted me up, I thought I can withstand so many things that I'm just not able to do it. But I was very surprised that even though I have came to Christ, I wasn't able to withstand a lot of things. Even though I already know this is the things that I have been dealing with actually till now. Like, and yes, there are a lot of frustrations. Yeah, but like I think there was once you told me that just don't keep thinking about why. But keep looking at how God wants to reveal things to me through this incident. And it's a period of transition. I think that's what you told me before when we were chatting about certain stuff. And then you just tell me this.
Yeah. I think one of the things for this song that I've noticed as I'm just kind of looking at the lyrics, like one of the things I really like about certain worship songs is when they focus on God, as opposed to what you just said, as opposed to our situation. I think part of the reason why I don't listen to a lot of radio anymore is because a lot of radio songs tend to focus on our situations and on people, which it's not a bad thing. But typically for when I'm listening to music, or at least when I'm listening for worship music, I'm thinking of, I'm needing to be lifted out of my own circumstance. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily help when I'm thinking about other people's circumstances. Mm-hmm. So the thing I really love about this song is it's all about God. You know, even the first verse, bless the Lord, bless his holy name, power and grace in your name forever and amen. And it's like through those lyrics of viewing and seeing God, how merciful and wonderful and awesome he is. And then when you get to the bridge, and then realizing that this amazing God has forgiven me and delivered me and made me whole, mm-hmm. it becomes so much more powerful, because it's like, wow, like him, mm-hmm. he did it. Like it is lifting me out mm-hmm. of those circumstances. So it's something I really, really like about this song. Jesus, the chorus goes, Jesus, our hope, El Shaddai, there is no one like you. Wraps up our fourth podcast episode for this. I can't even say this week because it's been almost a month now. But just a few announcements. Yeah, we're back on track now. Yeah. Just a few announcements. Again, we are working on a solo album for one of our artists here at Impact. And of course, if you want to keep up with us, come visit us at impactmusicstudios.wordpress.com. Mm-hmm. That is our current blog page. We are going to be updating our about page to mm-hmm. kind of elaborate a little bit more on our services, our recording, mixing, and mastering services that we're going to be offering mm-hmm. To anyone that would like to, even if you want to do a demo of a song that you've come up with or something like that, or just a demo of your voice, we would love to help you out there. But we'll get into more of that info as it comes by. And now we've come to that time of the podcast where we connect you with everyone that you've been listening to. Well, of course, there's just been me and Mika today. Yeah. But if you want to follow me, I'm Isaac. You can find me at www.ichthyoid.com. And you can listen to my material on SoundCloud, which is going to be soundcloud.com/ichthyoid. And how can people reach you, Mika?
So you guys can reach me at impactmusicstudio.wordpress.com.
All right, sweet. And thanks for listening, guys, to this fourth episode of Radicast. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. For more information about who we are and what we do, please visit us at impactmusicstudios.wordpress.com. We would love to hear feedback from you regarding this podcast or anything else related to Impact Music Studios. And we look forward to casting with you next week. You have a great day.
Bye-bye. Bye.